back to season 2 of CSR 1 from Amaya FM. I'm Courtney Brandt. I was introduced to today's guest as part of a book club I started in January. In addition to various literary discussions, I was also pleased to discover that Dominika Drizal made an amazing trip to Zambia earlier in the year. Interestingly, her involvement with Mothers Without Borders starts at an airport.
My husband and son became involved with a camping group here in Dubai. And the founder of the camping group was on a business trip in Africa and by coincidence came across a woman in the airport who was wearing a T-shirt upon which was printed Mothers Without Borders. And he thought, well, this is an interesting name. And he approached her.
So this is like complete serendipity.
Complete serendipity. So this gentleman who started the camping group came back to Dubai and proposed to a team of fathers, why don't we do something outside of our comfort zone and support this organization? I met this woman who's started an organization in Zambia, and what she's doing is amazing from an emotional perspective and from a sustainable, really quantifiable perspective.
And so how long ago was that?
When they approached, this was last October. And so he sends out an email, and it really, I don't want to get philosophical here, but it was a really opportune moment in my life because I had just left a job, and I was wondering what to do with my time. I was really at a crossroads and I wasn't quite certain what to do, where to go. And I said, well, listen, I know Africa. I used to work in Africa. Used to work in economic development, in fact, throughout Africa. Can I help? Can I help organize this trip? Can I help support you? Mm-hmm. Thinking maybe I would be given some side role or do some side research. Anyway, long story short, it turns out that I co-organized the trip with him.
So when you started out, your involvement was, I guess, you know, okay, there's always a place for organization, especially in coordinating however many people. How do you kind of see your work? How has it evolved from just starting with, okay, I'm going to organize a trip, to where you are now? How tell us about that kind of journey.
Sure. I'm still on the journey, in fact, because we just returned. We just returned from Zambia shy of 2 weeks.
Okay.
And to be very honest with you, I think all of us are still processing the journey because there are a lot of elements associated with this kind of a trip, right? I mean, you obviously have the organizational element of, you know, heralding 60 people. We were 60 in total,
wow.
30 adults and 30 children at the end. So the organizational logistics associated with that were challenging and quite honestly adjusting, rather accommodating people's fear. A number of the people in our group had never been to Africa.
Okay.
And their first encounter with Africa was not going to be a five-star safari.
Yes.
Okay. Their first encounter was going to be emotionally and physically extremely demanding. And a lot of people were afraid. They didn't know what to expect. So you had the organizational element, you had the sort of psychological element, and you always have one or two people in the group who are a bit complicated.
That's a very generous way of putting it.
Complicated,
sure.
and enterprising.
But they all knew this was going towards a higher purpose.
They all understood that this was going towards a higher purpose.
With a lot of planning, Dominika and her family, along with a number of local families, traveled to Africa as part of their project with Mothers Without Borders.
I'm not going to dismiss or diminish the power of donations or physical and donations, right? But what happened in this instance was parents decided to opt for a different route, and they decided to actually physically get on a plane,
okay,
invest in their airplane tickets and building materials and everything, and bring their children along. What we've done is we built an extension to the existing school.
Okay.
But the extension is not just, you know, 4x4 room.
Mm-hmm.
The extension is actually going to allow 150 more children to have an education.
Amazing.
A primary and secondary school education. So I'm I'm still trying to wrap my head around the impact that, you know, 30 somewhat clueless adults coupled with their extremely determined children were able to realize.
Yeah. And the impact on the community, but
a couple of factors. You know, some of the children who will now be attending the Mothers Without Borders school, they could have gone to other schools. But going to other schools implies minimum of 7K walking in one direction to go to school. Okay. Right. So if you're getting up at 4 a.m. to walk to school, by the time you've come home from school, how much energy do you really have to learn, to do your homework, to study, right? There's a financial implication associated with sending children to school as well, mm-hmm. right? Unfortunately, boys are more often chosen over girls in some of these traditional societies. And the focus on Mothers Without Borders is, well, actually, it's not a focus. It's merit-based.
So boy, it
doesn't
matter.
Yeah. Boy or girl. If you want to learn, mm-hmm. It's very difficult to determine who is best at school because they don't have a foundation upon which to work, right? But it's if you want to learn, mm-hmm. you're going to come to school and you're going to work hard and you're going to appreciate what you're being given, mm-hmm. Then you're welcome to be here. So that was incredible. So imagine if the government isn't providing that kind of an educational foundation support mm-hmm. for whatever the reason. There's a multitude of reasons why that isn't happening, which is probably another podcast.
Yeah.
This is when people like you and I can actually come in and make a difference. The power of one multiplied was seen here. 150 more kids. Can you?
And fast forward 5-10 years, what that looks like in the community, it could be just exponential.
Of course, you have the multiplier effect because these kids will then understand the power of education and they will make sure that their children get educated. You know, these kids will, especially the girls, will probably not fall pregnant at a young age. They'll probably take certain precautions in terms of health at a young age because they'll be more cognizant of the results of their actions, right? So our mission was twofold. Our mission was to build an extension to the existing school grounds. Unfortunately, I'm going to be a little bit gender specific here. Really, the men were primarily focused on the building from morning till night, whereas the women flipped between the orphanage and the building site. Mm-hmm. The reason It's just a physicality. The bricks were 11K each, and we just have limits.
Physical limits.
At least myself with physical limits. Yep. Having had said that, as a side note, you would have been amazed if you could have witnessed some of the children, including my own son, who's shy of 9, mm-hmm. who insisted on working physically from morning until night. We couldn't get the kids to stop. They somehow inherently understood how important this was. It wasn't a game. For some of the little ones, maybe it was a game. But for the older ones, mm-hmm. they intuitively, intrinsically understood that they could help and they wanted to. It was a beautiful thing to see. It was really a beautiful thing to see, you know?
I mean, we live in this city and we are very privileged, almost, everyone. But so when you think of a half term and you think of what you could do with that time and that for your son to then go back to his school and say, what did you do? Oh, we went skiing. We went here. I built a school. Mm-hmm. I went to Zambia. Where's Zambia? So we've got there's so many different parts of it that he's bringing back. Right. And he can speak to that on a personal level. He did that for himself. You provided a way for him to get there. But
he actually just gave a presentation at his school yesterday. Yeah, and the teacher was kind enough to video record it for me. And he spoke about two primary elements. He spoke about the logistics of what we did, what we did, where we went. We actually added on a few days to show him Victoria Falls and safari. But the reason we did that was because we also wanted to show him another very important element of Africa, and that is with respect to, there's the people element, but there's the animal element. Mm-hmm. Elephant, yes, tongue in cheek, sorry. There's the animal element and conservation and environmentalism and respecting animals and every aspect of what makes Africa so great.
There are many ways you can help an organization like Mothers Without Borders. And if you have the chance to spend some time on the ground in another country, Dominika believes your life will be changed for the better. Many of the children she visited were HIV positive and have not had a lot of human interaction in their lives. To sit and listen or tell a story or dance with the kids was a highlight of the trip.
A lot of the moms played with the kids at the orphanage, right? So we organized little workshops for them. We played. We just were silly with them. And we wanted to ensure, this was very, very important for me when planning out this element of the trip, we wanted to ensure that we were not showing up as teachers, mm-hmm. but rather we were showing up as friends.
Okay.
And we were showing up as people who wanted to learn from them as much as we wanted to teach them. And so it was us being silly and teaching them, I don't know, anything from the Macarena to tic-tac-toe to just silly games.
The universal languages out there. Well,
and the universal language is dance. And that's something that really resonates
and
in
games,
Africa,
yeah.
right? Art, music, dance, games, just laughter. Mm-hmm. And then they taught us some of their games and some of their songs. And we had bubble parties. We played with bubbles and we danced. And it really broke the barriers. A very, very sad fact is that all of the children at the orphanage come from severely abused backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So understanding their limits, emotional and physical, we thought would be challenging. We thought, and we were a little bit nervous about that, but in fact, they made it very clear. They made their boundaries very clear. And what was one of my favorite moments was seeing those boundaries evaporate after just 2-3 days evaporate. Maybe not with the adults, but at least with the other children. So seeing children who had literally arrived to the orphanage a few weeks prior, who hadn't spoken in those few weeks because they were so traumatized, without going into detail about things that had happened to them, reaching out and taking hands of our kids to just walk with them, to play with them, was...
Yeah, that's a moment.
Oh, God.
I'm getting emotional here. But yeah, I can only picture that.
Towards the end of our stay, the kids at the orphanage had prepared some songs and dance for us. And this is something that they do for all the volunteers and all the visitors, but that doesn't diminish its value because the kids actually write their poetry and they choreograph their songs. Mm-hmm. And they're all based on these elements of sadness. They're based on elements of sadness, of AIDS and how their AIDS took away their parents and how most of these kids actually have AIDS as well. But the optimism at the same that's coupled with the sad or overwhelms the sadness is really beautiful to see. They're optimistic. Despite everything they've gone through, they're optimistic, which makes you that much more frustrated when you come to an area, not necessarily Dubai, it could be New York, it could be anywhere, yeah. right? And you see children complaining about things that are so trite. And how do you manage that, right? That's something parents have to figure out. Because with my son, for example, I didn't want him to feel guilty about the privileges that he has. I wanted him to appreciate the privileges that he has and to give back, you know? And this is something my husband and I have been trying to teach him since he was a baby.
We'll be back right after this.
Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know about this other show we've been doing. It's an Amaya FM original called Tales of the Trade, where we feature Dubai's entrepreneurs and pioneers and the stories behind the ideas that they've brought to life. You can find out more, check out our episodes, and even subscribe in this very player, or you can look us up on the web by visiting talesofthe.trade.
As there are many initiatives and stories we'd like to share, CSR of One asks the community to consider sponsoring our show to help support us. Please contact csrofone@amaya.fm. Welcome back. You're listening to CSR of One. I'm Courtney Brandt. Mothers Without Borders has been operating in Zambia for about 10 years. And although the project Dominika and the other volunteers were a part of may have taken a physical toll, the work led to some lasting memories.
Two of the people on our trip actually are solar panel professionals.
Okay.
And so they put solar paneling on the school. So
they're more sustainable and they don't have to rely on...
The schools don't have electricity. Yet the government mandates the schools to have an element of computer training. But how can they do that if they don't have electricity? And by the way, how can they do that without computers? So we donated computers and we put in solar paneling. So the moment when one of the people on our team literally pulled the plug, the light switch or plug, and the school lit up, you know, the classroom rather, lit up.
Uh-huh.
If you could have, you can see the look on the children's faces. I can share a video with you. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. I mean, from the children to the adults, everyone was sobbing because... Again, something we take for granted every day. But if you don't have electricity, you can't do your homework at night. You can't read a book at night. You can't use a computer and learn absolute fundamental skills that you need in the rest of your life. So how do people get involved? What Kathy has tried to communicate is that everyone is a mother. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, one doesn't have to have a child to be a mother. And that's the beauty of her organization, that if you want to give back, well, it should be really Parents Without Borders, I think, but anyway.
The fathers are implied in this.
Fathers are implied. They're helpful.
They're going along with what the mothers
they're
say.
They're helpful once in a while, yes. but it's cliche, but it really does start at home, right? If you have a child, or if you have a niece, you have a nephew, or a godson, or a godchild, start teaching them from a very, very young age what it means to give back, mm-hmm. and what it means to give back without looking at giving back as something that's charity. The mantra of Kathy's organization, Mothers Without Borders, is actually love works. It's not charity works, it's love works. So everyone can give back, and the power of time mm-hmm. is fundamental. You know, it's fundamental, even if you just think in our own context of, you know, we didn't grow up in this. But, you know, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling sad, the power of a friend coming to you and helping you and encouraging you and lifting you up is unquantifiable, right? So you have that soft element.
Also the reliability. So I'm at K9 Friends every Sunday, and those people rely on my time that I give. And, you know, through the year, I don't add it up every week. It's just that's my time that I give. And where you give it or when you give it or who you're inspired to give it to, only you can answer that.
And exactly. And that's the whole key. If you're going to give back, figure out what your passion is. My sister, for example, her passion is animals. She's
amazing.
Finds children to be frustrating, to use euphemism. But, you know, if you find animals, if you find it to be, you know, if you find it to be animals, and then you have K9, you have a number of other organizations. Yeah. I think from what I understand, you can foster, you can donate. There's so many things that you can do, right? If it's environmentalism, I mean, you have, you know, Tatiana with Gumbuk, you have a number of plastic waste free initiatives that are happening that need, you know, admin support, financial support, mentor support. So with Mothers Without Borders, go online.
Okay.
You can give time. Mm-hmm. You can give money. It's a U.S. registered NGO.
Okay.
You can give time. You can give money. You can say, hey, I'm a social media expert, and I see that you want to actually take your digital footprint to another level. Let me volunteer a few hours of my time.
How great would that be?
Well, how amazing would that be? This is actually something that I'm hoping she, as well as other NGOs, will do. Mm-hmm. We're now living in a virtual world. Years ago, because remember, with NGOs, they're sustainable not just because of money, but they're firstly sustainable because of brand awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And expanding that network is done nowadays quite easily, or can be quite easily done by leveraging social media.
Yeah.
So if you have a skill that and you're willing to volunteer a few hours of your day, reach out to Mothers Without Borders. Reach out to Maleka, which is reach out to whoever you care about and give virtually. Share through your own networks.
That's the whole point of this. Yeah.
You know, after these kids finish secondary school, they have to go to high school. Sponsor a kid to go to high school.
Sure.
Talk to your schools here in Dubai. Figure out whether they would be willing to sponsor a child for high school.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Or a summer program.
Yeah.
Why not? There's so much that can be done. And I think people are more open to listening now because the transparency is there that we didn't have before. Right now, you can actually go online. You can look at the financial statements associated with an NGO. You can see whether they're legitimate.
We had somebody who started an NGO and she has every single penny. You know, she takes that very
accounted
seriously.
For.
Yeah. So when things and the money, it's as much possible going to the organization. So even a coffee or whatever, you know, it's all accounted for. And I like that. As you said, there's more transparency. So what do we have on the books then for your specific involvement with Mothers Without Borders? Or is there something big that the whole organization is going towards?
We haven't decided yet. Like I said before, everyone is still processing the emotional impact of this trip because it was very hard. Two of the children with whom we spent a week are now in hospital. Time will tell whether they'll make it out. And I'm not trying to sound cold about this, but it's just a fact, right? A number of us have been reaching out to our children's schools in Dubai and mm-hmm. seeing whether they would actually be willing to sponsor children. We're actually planning to break into smaller sessions.
Okay.
We're planning to break into smaller 60 sessions.
60 does sound a bit unwieldy.
It was a bit unwieldy. There are people in our organization or in the group who are, you know, medical practitioners. There are people who are educational oriented. There are people who are business oriented. So we're trying to break into smaller groups now and see how we can support Kathy
mm-hmm.
to scale her up. And at the same time, we're open to looking at other organizations, even locally. There's some great organizations locally, as far as I understand. You know, this was really a inspiration for me to start looking at what exists here. How can I actually get involved here as well? Which is something that, to be very honest with you, I hadn't necessarily considered before.
So are you planning another trip this year, or will be an annual trip, do you think?
What we're hoping for is an annual trip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But like I said, a trip on the same scale is probably not.
No. And even for the community itself to support 60 people.
For the community itself is challenging, right? So now the objective is really to determine, to analyze what we've done and figure out where are there gaps. You know, now we have a physical structure. Where are there gaps? Do you need volunteer teachers to come for 2 months? Do you need business experts to come for 2 months? What is it that you need? Let us know. And then we'll move on.
We can't wait to see how Dominika's 2020 trip goes and how the school will change from the last time she visited. If you would like to learn more about Mothers Without Borders and get involved on any level, please visit motherswithoutborders.org. We'll include the details in our show notes. You've been listening to CSR of One with me, Courtney Brandt. This episode was produced by Chirag Desai. We hope you found this as inspiring as we did. Leave us a review and let your friends know. You can subscribe in your favorite podcast players and even follow us on Instagram. Until next week, remember to be nice out there on social media. Think about sharing something for someone else. Goodbye and have a great week.